Good morning.
Good morning.
A little better there, huh? Excuse me. Good morning to you and welcome to our time together in worship once again. The Lord has given us another beautiful Lord's Day. Yesterday, the rains passed through here, and several days this week, actually. But today, again, the Lord has given us a beautiful day. And as I've said always, if you need to roll the windows up and start your car and turn the air conditioner on, that'll be great. It'll be fine. But we are thankful to be able to come together and worship in this way. The worship committee is going to meet later this week and begin a little bit more of a concentrated discussion about moving into the sanctuary. But as I've said, we're not in really any big hurry, but we will make that happen sometime over the next couple of weeks. In 2 weeks, we will be celebrating communion. And I imagine we will be doing it right here in our cars. And the plan, tentatively right now, is that when you come in, there will be self-contained little packets of juice and wafers that we have purchased that the deacons will give you when you come in. And then at that point in time in the worship service, we will share communion as we are given to do by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say happy Father's Day. To all of you, to some, this is the first Father's Day that your dad is not here, and so it is a emotional day, I'm sure, for some. For some, dad has passed away several years ago, a couple of years ago. Many of us, our dads are still here. My dad is still doing well, moved back to his regular room and getting back into his routine, which is good for him. But Father's Day is a special day because of our fathers. But in our parents, both mother and dad, but we'll speak of dads today, is where we first get that teaching of love by a father. That as we are given in Scripture and as we are given to do, we correlate that with the love of our Heavenly Father. And so that fatherly love, that strong hand, that discipline, that encouragement, that hope, we see in our fathers. And dads, I hope you have told your children, especially your young men, children, that you love them. Sometimes we men think that we don't need to say that. It's just too emotional. But please, please, please teach your children to say, I love you. Especially dads to their sons, so the son can turn to their children and very easily say, I love you. I love you. And as we're thinking of that, I do know there are some, sadly, did not see that kind of love in their father. And so that picture, that idea, that teaching of love is somewhat askew. And I pray for you. But today is Father's Day, and it is a wonderful day. And we who are fathers who have lost children, this is a special day. But it is a day we have come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we will do that. As far as announcements, I do not have any particular for you, other than that about communion and the worship committee, etc. So let's turn our hearts, let's turn our minds, our thoughts toward worship. And as we have done these last 4 weeks, we have a prayer here, a silent time of preparation for worship. And so I give that to you here as we prepare. Now, children of God, let us be called to worship. Clap your hands, all you peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome a great king over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. So let us do that as we join our voices together and sing our great Savior. Lord's word from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray together. Our Lord in heaven, we come into your presence this morning, again on a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you. But we come here with a singular intent, a singular ambition, and that is to lift up your name above all things, to acknowledge you to be our God, and for us to be your people. And we do enter your gates with thanksgiving, and we do that in the name of Jesus Christ, who has broke down those gates that held us in our sin. And we come into the presence of the Lord to worship. We come into the Lord's presence to worship. And I pray, O Lord, that you are pleased with our worship. And now, Lord, as we prepare ourselves for the furtherance of this worship, I give this call to your people in this call to confession. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As God has instructed us in these great commandments, and because we have not lived in full obedience, let us now confess our sins to God, trusting Christ as our Savior and Lord. In just a few moments of quiet here. Yes, Father, indeed, we look at these great commandments. The first is to love the Lord your God. But this second one is the one we will concentrate on today. You shall love your neighbor. Father, as we look out across our land today, we see much in violation of this commandment. But let us first look to ourselves. Have we loved our neighbors? Have we given ourselves to the needs, to the care of our neighbors? Who is our neighbor? The next person we meet. The next one we come in contact with. And have we shown the love of Christ in that? Heavenly Father, forgive us when we falter and sin, in not loving you with everything about us, but then also not loving, caring for, providing for, looking to the needs of our neighbors. And as Jesus has said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Yes, we have the moral law given to us in the Old Testament and recounted in many, many different ways through text. But here Jesus summarizes it. Lord, you summarize it easily for us to love you with all our hearts and to love our neighbor with all of our hearts. Lord, forgive us and help us do that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And this assurance of pardon from Colossians I give you there. Now, as we continue our time in prayer, let's lift up the things that are within our congregation that we have need of. We continue to pray for Harvey and Bryce. It's been a month now since the passing of our dear Irene. And for Larry and David as they continue to recuperate after their procedures, and for Michael, Miss Merle, and for Andy Hartness. We also remember, as I added last week, Floyd Weick, for Stacy Goodman. And this week, we have lifted up in prayer several times, and we continue Miss Norma Jenkins, and for Pam and for Billy. We had a very nice service here Wednesday afternoon for Jauncey. A very special young lady in her own right. And we do pray for these, Lord. Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Father, we do lift these up, these who are sick and hurting, recovering from loss. And Father, we pray for our country, our president, the Congress, Supreme Court. And Father, I pray that you would bring a peacefulness and override the divisiveness we see in much, well, I won't say much, because there is so much about our country that is still wonderful and beautiful. But there are those pockets of divisiveness that we do pray, Lord, that your peace would transcend over all these. And Father, we lift up our church here as we pray for the churches in our community as they each individually are working through different measures to bring the congregation together in different forms and fashions, whether it be through the electronic media or in outlets such as this. Father, give us wisdom. These are, as I've said many times, these are weird times. These are just weird times, unprecedented. But as the church has done down through the ages, it has met in different forms and fashions, but it has always met. And as Jesus said to Peter on that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that the church would always stand and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so we see that today, Lord, quite literally. When it seems like some in our country, in our state, want to work against the church meeting. But that will never happen. Because the church will always be, just as Jesus told Peter and the disciples that day. And we are evidence of that here today. We are meeting. We are coming together as a body. And it doesn't have to be in a building. It can be out in a parking lot. It can be in the basement of a house. It can be in a gymnasium. It can be under the covered shelter in some park. But the Lord's people will always gather, just as you have given us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged, uplifted, rejuvenated, that yes, these are challenging times in our society and in our country, but we, the church, always come together and we encourage one another. We lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love coming together in this way even. And we come together to worship. We come together to worship because that is what God's people do. Worship. Worship. And we enjoy the fellowship of coming together. Thank you for these things. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Strength, sister.
this road will be hard, but we win in the end, simply because of Jesus and us. It's not if, but when. So take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. Oh, find strength in each step, knowing heaven is cheering you on. We're almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild. The cross has brought heaven to us, but make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be, when all that's been lost has been made whole again, when these tears and this pain no longer exist, no more walking, we're running as fast as we can. Consider this our second wind. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing on. We are almost home, almost home, almost home. We are almost home, almost home.
Amen. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Eddie. Not if, but when. Keep pressing on. And hold up your head. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Susan. The title of our sermon today is Love Your Neighbor. Love Our Neighbor. Excuse me. Love Our Neighbor. And we will be headed to James chapter 4, but first join me in the book of Mark, chapter 12. And once again, I am in awe of our Lord's timing and the message that he gives us in these days. Love our neighbor. Our world certainly needs to hear this today. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Familiar passage to you, and I've already given it to you as it is found in the book of Matthew, but here we have it in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And this is called, if you have a subtitle in your scriptures, it's called the Great Commandment. And it is the pinnacle of our Lord's teaching. As we read from Matthew, all of the Old Testament law and all of the Old Testament prophets find their base in these two commandments, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. It first tells us that the Lord our God is one. It teaches that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Everything about us, every step of our day, every moment of our time here on this earth should be in that type of reflection of worshiping the Lord God. But then the second part of it is also in that pinnacle of our Lord's teaching, and that is to love our neighbor. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so here's the fascinating thing about this, and I've said this many times, but it still just kind of overwhelms me, that we see the love of our Lord, our God, with all of our strength, mind, and soul, and might. Yes, we understand that. But then we put neighbor. The Holy Spirit has put neighbor right there beside it. And Jesus said the second one is like it. I'll be honest with you, that challenges my thinking. I can understand the God part. And I can understand loving our neighbor down here maybe. But that's not what Matthew writes, and that's what Mark has written. That's not. It's here. And this is the point we need to understand as people. To love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor. And Jesus even emphasizes the point. He affirms this commandment's position in regards to all other statements of the law. He says very clearly, there is no other commandment greater than these. People will ask, what does the Lord want me to do? What is the Lord's will for my life? We really shouldn't ask that question. Because right here he's told us, has he not? He's told us. Doing these two things, in worshiping and honoring our Lord and loving our neighbor, are the two things. He said, no other commandment is greater than these. Then everything else about our lives will fall in line. Prayerfully. And so now, as I go to the book of James, and to understand that teaching of what I'm about to read to you in the book of James, we need to make sure we're clear about this teaching from Matthew and Mark. Love the Lord your God and love our neighbor. All right, now join me in James chapter 4, verse 11. Verses 11 and 12. The inerrant, infallible word of the living God. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of this from Mark and from James. Once again, James is discussing relationships. He's been doing this for the last three sermons we've had together, chapter 3 and chapter 4, relationships. And here he says, do not speak evil against one another. Do not speak evil. If we go back to last week, verses 7 and 8 of chapter 4, he writes, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And we went through that list of what James has given us in our relationships and in our relationship with God. So here this week, he's following that up by saying, do not speak evil. All right? This is one of the ways we can do what he gave us earlier in verses 7 and 8. This is how we can resist the devil. Do not speak evil. This is how we can draw near to God. Do not speak evil. This is one way we can purify our hearts. Do not speak evil. And this is how we uphold the second of these great commandments of loving our neighbor. Do not speak evil. Another way of saying this is do not defame. Do not denigrate. Those are harsh words. Just saying them, they're harsh. To defame means to hurt the reputation of another. It means to slander, to malign. To denigrate means to speak very critically of another. And here's James's point. To speak evil, to defame another, to denigrate another, to malign another, is saying to that person that you are less than me. You are less than me. And as I've made reference to, and you've seen as well as I have, we see too much of this in the world today. Speaking evil of those who have a different skin color. To speak evil of those who wear a particular uniform. To speak evil of those who are in authority over us. Or to speak evil of those who sit across the aisle in our government houses. Speaking evil, defaming, denigrating. And when we do this, what we're basically saying is, I am superior to you. You are lesser than me. In opposition to that, we are to treat every person, hear me clearly here, please. In opposition to this speaking evil, we are to speak of every person walking this earth with dignity and honor. Every person you meet, I don't care if you know them, don't know them, come from a different country, different skin color, speak a different language, it does not matter. We are to have honor and an integrity toward that person. Why? For those of you who were here Wednesday for Jotsey's service, I made this point. Why are we to treat another person with value, integrity, and honor? There's one simple reason. Every person walking the face of this earth was made in the image of God. Period. Not their actions. Not what they might say. We don't value people for those things. We value people. People have integrity because simply they're made in the image of God. Each one is to be treated with dignity and honor. Speaking evil of someone is forbidden because it's not only a breach of trust, but it is a breach of humility. And James has had this theme going along all the way through his text. In our relationships, we must enter them in humility. Being humble before our brothers and sisters rather than speaking evil. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul's putting another level on it. Paul is saying, love others more than you love yourself. And see, there's the issue. Love others more than you love yourself. Count others more important than yourself. Are we taught that in our society? In some segments. But in our self-serving, self-centered society, I am number one. I matter more than anyone. And folks, that is not biblical. And then we stay in Philippians chapter 2, we read on of the supreme pattern of the degree of humility we must possess. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 2. It's a familiar passage. You will recognize it. Verses 4 through 8. Here's the pattern of the level of humility. Paul writes, and he's speaking of Christ's example of humility. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility. Jesus put it all away, thinking of the need you had in your forgiveness of sin. Thinking of others better than yourself. This could almost move us into some depressing ideas about self. I'm useless. I'm wasteless. I'm wasteful. No. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. And you've heard this before. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. What is it? Thinking of yourself less. Speaking evil of someone sets me, the speaker, above another, which is in opposition to humility. And just as we are to be low before God, we are to be low before our neighbors. Back to verse 10 we read last week of chapter 4 in James, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Humility. It begins by being low before God, and by being low before God will also cause me to be low before my neighbor, my brothers and sisters. But see, there's, and we spoke of this last week, and this is, might be challenged to get our minds around. Acting in humility will actually cause us to be exalted. Acting in humility will actually cause us to be exalted. We see this in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just read here in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself to the cross. But what did the Father do for him and to him? Raised him up and set him up in his throne. It is the same with us. As we humble ourselves and look out for our neighbors and love our neighbors, we will actually find a place of exaltation in the blessing the Lord has for us. Speaking evil of someone is not a position of humility. Speaking evil, defaming someone is not loving my neighbor. So if it's not a position of humility, what is it? We go back to James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law. And see, this is where it gets deep. This is where it gets deep. And I think this is where we don't get the point of loving our neighbor. Because speaking evil, not loving, is actually judging the law. Is actually judging the law. Remember, God has given us the great command to love God and to love our neighbor. So if I'm defaming my neighbor, I am breaking the law. I'm speaking against the law. And I'm saying the law does not apply. Did you follow that? Speaking evil is the same thing as saying the law does not apply to me. And if I speak against the law and saying it does not apply to me, I'm judging the law. I'm judging the law, I'm denying it, and I'm putting myself above the law. And once again, back to James's ultimate point, If I put myself above the law, I'm no longer low before God, and I'm no longer low before my neighbor. I'm no longer loving my neighbor, and I'm no longer portraying an attitude of humility. Again, if I am not loving my neighbor, I am judging the law. And James goes on to say, if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. And I hope you can see where this is headed. If I'm not a doer of the law, because I see that the law does not apply, then I've taken a position that is not mine to take, and I am moving into idolatry. I'm moving into idolatry. I'm putting myself in the place that is reserved for another. I'm glorifying myself in my ability to judge the law and say it does not apply to me. And when I do that, I'm not only judging the law, but I'm judging who? The writer of the law. This speaks to what I understand or who I understand God to be. You didn't think all of that was wrapped up in loving your neighbor, did you? James writes in verse 12 here, there is only one lawgiver and judge. That is not my place. I am simply to be obedient. When we disobey the law, what are we doing in respect to the lawgiver? Setting him aside. I'm smarter than he is. I'm wiser. I know what applies to me and what doesn't. That puts the entire holy text in subjection to your thinking. Do you have that kind of wisdom? Do I have that kind of wisdom? God's law is not just an arbitrary set of rules. The law of God is an expression of his being. I've said many times, you can tell a lot about a person reading their writing. You go and read Paul's writings, you can understand and get a grasp of his wisdom, of what the Holy Spirit's given him. When you read James and his practical, down-to-earth teaching, you understand what kind of person he was. Same thing goes for God. When you read his holy text, you understand his sovereignty. You understand the wisdom, or at least get a glimpse of it. And so when we look at the law, we see, we come to recognize and realize the majestic nature of God. But when we set that law aside, we're also setting him aside. We're rejecting his nature. We're rejecting his character. We're rejecting God. And in the end, putting ourselves above him. One commentator writes, to disobey his law is to contradict him. To value our opinions above the law is to value ourselves above him. To take up the position of judge is to elbow him, our Lord, off of his throne. So we ask, is this us? Are we ones speaking evil? Do we defame? Do we denigrate? Are we idolaters? Because that's where you are. That's where we are. And see, that's where I think our rub is we don't understand when Jesus says, love your neighbor, that if we don't do it, we're actually stepping into idolatry. And where is humility in that? James then says, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Before we go on, let's make sure we understand the difference between judging and discerning. We get this as Christians thrown up in our face all the time. You're not to judge me. Well, there's a difference between judging and discerning. Discerning is evaluating. Using holy text to determine whether something is good or bad. Judging, on the other hand, is making that evaluation based on evidence and rendering a decision that has judgment, a condemnation associated with it. And you don't have that power, wisdom, or ability, nor do I. But are we to be discerning? Yes. Yes, we are. Given holy text, we are to evaluate every situation and determine their position based on that scripture and then act accordingly with it. But when we move into that place of judging and rendering a decision and a condemnation, speaking evil, we're in a place we do not have. We're in a place we do not have. So, questions. Are we ones who stand above the law? Are we ones who move our Lord God off His throne, saying His laws do not apply? No, intentionally, I know we don't. But how about when we gossip? How about when we make that offhanded reference in relation to another person? We might be guilty there. We might be guilty. And when we gossip and when we say those unfair, those critical things, we are putting that person below. We are taking ourselves up. And we're taking the integrity and the honor and the value away from that person. And I know in our world today there is much that we could speak harshly against of other individuals based on their actions, based on their words, based on disagreements, et cetera, et cetera. Don't go there. Don't go there. Be discerning, but do it in love. It's as simple as this. Loving our neighbor is loving God. Do you love God? Absolutely. Then we are to love our neighbors. Black, brown, yellow, white, red, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And that's one of the great sins of our world today, is that we do not see that other person that is so starkly different from us as someone I should love. We're going to sing a song now that we sing often. And I sing it often intentionally, because to me it portrays a lot of the attitude of the people of New Sterling. Now, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back, because I ain't. But let me be honest with you. I do see a lot of love and care and honor among the people of New Sterling. Have we got a lot to learn? Absolutely. Have we a long way to go? Absolutely. But you are a people who love. And you are a people who care. And you've shown that love in so, so many different ways to so, so many different people. Let us not stop short from loving those outside that we ain't even met yet. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Let's sing together. Amen. Now hear the Lord's benediction. May the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Bless you, and I will see you next week.